Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research papers and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Brother Robert Johnson. Well, we're back this week and I have some great stuff for everybody. I think we're just going to dive right into this week's episode. And again, we are having some difficulties with Brother Frey's audio file, but we will get it worked out just as soon as we can. So here's another piece in place for this week. All right, so what we're going to do is go ahead with the second part of a Knight Templar article that we talked about a few weeks ago. This is the continuation of an encapsulated history of cryptic masonry in Europe and the United States by Richard W. Van Doren. Again, continued from March 2013 issue. Part 2, The Historical. As we have seen from the previous segments of this history, there are a multiplicity of theories about the prehistoric, pre-organized genesis of the cryptic rite. One that has not been discussed before, and which we will treat here, will be the last of the speculations about where it came from originally. The difference in why it is placed here is that this story has actual records which support it in some detail and therefore constitute quote-unquote history as academically recognized. The birthplace of so many rites and degrees is seated in southern France, specifically the area surrounding Bordeaux. This is the homeland of various degrees of both French and ultimately English and Scottish derivation. One such notion is that it also gave rise to the cryptic degrees. However, they did not remain there long. Instead, like those prompted by Ramsay's famous oration, they were associated with and traveled with the Écossais tradition from Bordeaux to Berlin. It was in Berlin that the Scottish rite and the cryptic rite found an enthusiastic patron, no less a personage than King Frederick the Great. It was he who saw to it that there was a Scottish rite constitution. Dates differ from 1761 to a lesser agreed upon 1751, and as the theory goes, also a rite for cryptic masons. The former went back to Bordeaux and thence by Morin et al. To Jamaica, and thence south to Carolina, Albany, New York, etc. The cryptic rite degrees went to the United States of America directly via Wilmans and Cohen. Certainly, this is the theoretic tradition of the Royal Master degree. The similarities of degrees in Berlin, Bordeaux, and the United States of America are interesting. The engraved word is placed on a triangular plate of pure gold. Fearing loss, it is worn around the neck of Hiram Abiff with the name engraving on the inside. At the time of the death of the Grand Master, it is cast into a dry well in the southeast corner of the temple. Eventually, over time, it is then found by the three masters who see the glint of metal shining at just the right time of day. One of the masters carries it to King Solomon. The current ritual is a variation and more in accord with the symbolism which permeates and surrounds this degree. The select master is known to have been actively performed in France prior to 1751. It is considered to be older than the degrees of the Rite of Perfection of the Scottish Rite, and was also apparently worked by the chapter of Clermont in 1754. The title of Select Master of Clermont, later shortened to Select Master, is thought not to relate to the Abbey of Clermont. The reason for that thinking is that the Abbey is operated and administered in the Jesuit tradition. The Jesuits are and were not fond of the Knights Templar, and all the degrees in the Scots system lead back eventually to Ramsay's oration and the Knight Templar. Instead, it is thought that the title of the degree is most likely a compliment to the Duke of Clermont, the French Grand Master of Masons, 1743 to 1770, the United States. The early years of the cryptic degrees, first named such by Robert Morris of Kentucky, are marked by multiple theories of origin. All of them appear to have some truth, and all of them have some areas that are easily disputed by the trained historian. What we can conclude with some certainty is that, like many of the so-called higher degrees, those of the cryptic rite originated in France. They were conveyed to the United States by one of two different routes, and were first conferred in lodges of perfection administrated by the ancient and accepted Scottish rite. Between the years of 1817 and 1829, the active cryptic degree work and councils began to appear in a number of states such as Connecticut, Virginia, North Carolina, and Maryland. Massachusetts conferred their first cryptic degrees in 1817 and formed a Grand Council in 1826. However, there was still a lot of push and shove with regard as to who would ultimately have authority over council activities. Who would ultimately have control? The ancient accepted Scottish Rite, the Royal Arch, or the cryptic rite itself? An early historian named Moses Holbrook left the following comment in 1829. I hereby certify that the degrees of Royal Master and Select Master or Select Master of 27 were regularly given by the Sublime Grand Lodge of Perfection No. 2 in the United States by Brother Isaac DaCosta in Charleston in February 1783. The committee, of which Holbrook was the chair, included three living members of the original four Supreme Council members associated with these degrees, Frederick Dalcho, Isaac Auld, James Moutrie, and Moses Levy. None of them contradicted the statement. The committee recommended that the supervisory Masonic authorities at the time surrender the custody of the cryptic degrees. That would have included the AASR, as well as the Grand Chapter of Royal Archmasonry of South Carolina. On January 28, 1828, a convention had been called in New York to decide the future. Following the lead of the South Carolinians, the New York Companions formed a General Grand Council of Royal and Select Masters in 1829. Other grand councils formed and became subordinate. In the period 1847 to 1853, the General Grand Council won the ongoing struggle with grand chapters of Royal Archmasons, but the AASR of both North and Southern jurisdictions continued until the 1867 union of the Cerno and Raymond Councils in the Northern jurisdiction. The handwriting was on the wall, and the inevitable emergence of the General Grand Council as supreme authority of the degrees was finally acceded to in 1872. In 1873, the Order of the Degrees was agreed to and finalized. The order would be the Royal Master, the Select Master, the Super Excellent Master. The latter, according to such experts as Henry Coyle, does not actually constitute a quote-unquote degree, but rather is considered to be a ceremony. The ironic part of that is that the Super Excellent Master contains a vibrant drama which originated with the principal sojourner's part in the Royal Arch degree, and which concludes the period of the First and Second Temples. The final chapter in organizing the cryptic rite began in 1952 with the acceptance of New Mexico's Grand Council into the national organization. In 1881, at a meeting held in New York, the Grand Council of Massachusetts led the charge to establish a General Grand Council of the Cryptic Rite of the United States of America. Again, that was by Dr. Richard W. Van Doren. He is a retired psychologist and past commander of Boston Commandery No. 2. And as soon as the third part comes out, you can be sure that we will go ahead and read that right here on the show. This particular entire issue will be on the app as a bonus feature to download as a PDF. Now I want to say thanks to everybody for that big push to 1,000 likes on Facebook. So thanks to everybody who really worked on it. Brother John Paul Gomez, who makes the best ties in the world through his company Fraternal Ties, the tie that binds. And he shared the show with everyone, and that was huge. Also, Brother Charles Harper from my Scottish Rite Valley of Chicago put a little blurb out on his Facebook page as well. Brother Harper is a writer for the Living Stones magazine, and you should all check that out when you get a chance. Maybe when you're done listening, you go ahead and head over to Fraternal Ties and buy an amazing tie, and then you go get a subscription to the Living Stones magazine. It really is great. Also, Brother Todd E. Creason, speaking of publications, written for his next book, which promises to be pretty amazing. As soon as it comes out for purchase, I'll post the link for it on our website at wcypodcast.com. I also wanted to mention Brother James E. Frey's research lodge he's trying to get off the ground, the Rebus Research Lodge, which should be getting a web presence very soon. Also, I have to say congratulations to Brother Todd Paderak for getting his lodge's Facebook page up and going. Head over there today and give him a like. He fought long and hard to be able to bring it to the web and the world as he did. You can find it at the Blazing Star Lodge, number 694. And I wanted to say supporting Masonic businesses can be important. Therefore, I do have a few links to some of the web pages on our website, www.wcypodcast.com. On the lower right-hand side, you're going to see some Masonic businesses like product research gear. Very cool stuff. They're all working really hard to make quality products, and they're making a living at it. Next, I want to mention the Android and Apple apps for the show, which let you listen anywhere, streaming via mobile device. When you do that, you're supporting the show and also getting access to the papers we read via PDF through the app, as well as Masonic wallpapers, which are Masonically themed for your mobile device. Alternatively, there is the Stitcher Smart Radio app, which lets you listen streaming for free. Just download the app and register for free using the promo code WENCECAMU. If apps aren't your thing, we do have a donation button, which is on the website at www.wcypodcast.com. And Again, it's all secure through PayPal. The link is on the right-hand side about halfway down. I had a busy few weeks at my home lodge, new things to memorize, and tons of degree work. In any case, I finally got around to finishing up my second quiz within the Scottish Rite Master Craftsman course. Hopefully, I do as well on it as I did on the first one. Next, we need to cover this week's famous Freemason. At first, I really wanted to cover Matt Groening, the creator of The Simpsons and Futurama, but I could find no evidence that he was a Freemason, except, of course, rumors and conspiracy, so we had to move on. So let's cover the tallest man to ever live, Robert Wadlow. I'm sure you have seen those Ripley's Believe It or Not and Guinness Book of World Record photographs of Robert holding a teacup. And if you haven't, check them out. It's unbelievable. Robert Pershing Wadlow was born on the 22nd of February in 1918, and he passed away on the 15th of July, 1940. He was the tallest person in history for whom there is irrefutable evidence. Wadlow is sometimes known as the Alton Giant, or Giant of Illinois, because he was born and grew up in Alton, Illinois. Wadlow reached 8 feet 11.1 inches in height, and he weighed 439 pounds at his death. When he died, he was 22 years old. His great size and his continued growth in adulthood were due to hyperplasia of his pituitary gland, which results in an abnormally high level of human growth hormone. He showed no indication of an end to his growth, even at the time of his death. Wadlow's size began to take its toll. He required leg braces to walk, and he had little feeling in his legs or feet. Despite these difficulties, Wadlow never used a wheelchair. Wadlow was an American celebrity. He was well known owing to his 1936 U.S. tour with Ringling Brothers Circus and his 1938 promotional tour with the Interco. He continued participating in tours and public appearances through only his normal street clothes. His shoes were provided for him free of charge by a shoe company for which he did promotional work and appearances. Examples still exist in several locations throughout the United States, including Snyder Shoe Store in Ludington and Manistee, Michigan, and the Alton Museum of History and Art. 1 year before his death, he passed John Rogan as the tallest person ever. On June 27, 1940, 18 days before his death, he was measured at 8 feet 11.1 inches by doctors, the C.M. Charles and Cyril McBride of Washington University in St. Louis. Around 5,000 people attended Wadlow's funeral on the 19th of July. He was buried in a 10-foot-long, half-ton coffin that required 12 pallbearers to carry and was interred in a vault of solid concrete. It was believed that Wadlow's family members were concerned for the sanctity of his body after his death and wanted to ensure that it would not be disturbed or stolen. Today, a life-size statue of Wadlow stands on College Avenue in Alton, opposite the Alton Museum of History and Art. The statue was erected in 1986 in honor of the hometown native. Another statue of him stands at the Guinness Museum in Niagara Falls, and others are at several of the Ripley's Believe It or Not museums. A group of 6 life-size models made before his death by artist James Butler exist and are shipped and displayed in replica caskets. He is still affectionately known as the Gentle Giant. Wadlow was a Freemason. In 1939, he petitioned Franklin Lodge No. 25, Alton, Illinois, and by late November of that year was raised to the degree of Master Mason under the jurisdiction of the Grand Lodge of Illinois, AF and AM. Wadlow's Freemason ring was the largest ever made. That's it for this week. Remember to find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at WentzCamu. We're also on Google+, Tumblr, MySpace, Instagram, Pinterest, as well under the wcypodcast@gmail.com email address. Send any questions you have or submissions to the Midnight Freemasons to that same address. Remember to check out the Midnight Freemasons 3 times a week for original content published on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Fridays. We have an amazing multi-part series which started this past Friday, and each subsequent piece will come out on Friday. I have to mention the folks over at Onnit Labs for helping support the show through the affiliate program. If you want some great fitness equipment or nootropic vitamins, visit our website, again, www.wcypodcast.com, and click through using the link on Onnit, and use the promo code WCY at checkout for 10% off, and that should work every single time. Thanks again, everybody, for all the great success. Until next week, for Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.